Welcome to Team Name Thursday. Today on the show, Scott drafts Mitch Haniger on his Tout Wars team. Surprise, surprise.
Of course they do.
Oh, yeah. Team Name Tuesday actually happens. Heath, if I don't do Team Name Tuesday within the first 20 minutes of this Thursday show, you yell at me and make sure I do it.
Do Team Name Tuesday, Adam.
Why don't you just do Team Name Tuesday right now?
Right now?
No.
We have people what they want.
We have more important things, like bold predictions. We have good and bad average draft position. I forgot to ask you guys off the air, so let's do it on the air. Did you look at ADP and come up with good and bad ADPs?
I did.
Okay.
Yes.
I can.
I didn't. Which I think is a pretty good representation of probably how we all do.
I feel like if anyone would have done their homework consistently in school, it definitely would have been Scott.
I did do my homework consistently in school. I had too much homework, Adam. I had to send you my Tout Wars team.
Scott definitely ran out had the highest GPA.
Like, you had to take two screenshots of a roster and send it to him.
I typed it out.
Yeah, he
I wanted Adam to have the ability to copy and paste.
Work smarter, not harder, Scott.
Well, I'm going to change the homework assignment from 3 good and 3 bad ADPs to 2 good and 2 bad ADPs. Since I didn't know Chris was joining us today, this is so exciting.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Well, you didn't respond to the email, which is probably...
I'm so sorry to disappoint you, Adam.
That's the first step of the homework.
Yeah,
when somebody
exactly.
says, are you going to be on the podcast, and you don't respond to the email, they assume you aren't.
That's well, exactly.
You know what happens when you assume.
I guess that was just wishful thinking, Adam.
Also... a listener suggested a starting pitcher that we may be completely overlooking. That's a teaser. Stay tuned for that with our email section, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com.
Is it Marcus Stroman because he's so short and we're overlooking him?
That's very funny. No, but I am excited about Stroman and Team USA.
You can't overlook that Netherlands pitcher who's really tall.
Have you guys been watching the World Baseball Classic?
Love honkball.
I am going to one of the games.
Oh, yeah? Well, who's playing?
I'm giving Marlins Park one more chance. We'll see if more people show up this time.
Such a hater.
Who are they playing?
Canada.
All right. All right. Who are you rooting for?
I will be cheering for America.
Okay, good, good. So I have a strategy suggestion for you guys. What do you think about this? I actually believe this has been brought up before by a listener. I am not going to take credit for this, but worth bringing up again. I looked at 2016, the totals for all of the Rockies catchers. They weren't great, but Nick Hundley played about 80 games for them. 18 home runs, 91 RBIs, which isn't bad, and they hit a little bit better than 260. Not going to kill you in batting average. That was Hundley, Walters, and Tom Murphy. What do you think about in a two-catcher league making Walters and Murphy your two catchers?
I don't like it at all.
Okay.
Even kind of.
I mean, I'm trying to think of like two catchers you could get for a dollar in an auction league. Let's say Cameron Rupp and Steven Vogt. Nobody's particularly excited about drafting those two guys. Together, they hit 250 with 30 home runs and 110 RBI last year.
Right, but I think that those 18 home runs goes up this year because Murphy barely played last year. You know, he hit four or five home runs. He's going to play more than most backup catchers. So I think that those power numbers will go up.
But yeah. You're just like in a mixed league, you should be able to get two catchers who are getting starter level at bat.
You're accepting one player's worth of plate appearances for maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, like you're probably only going to get about 1,000 plate appearances from your catchers. And that's probably a really rosy scenario.
All right, so we don't like it?
Not at all.
I think it's okay if you know there's going to be... Like, if you're not sure who's going to get the most at-bats, but you obviously think both have potential at Coors Field, you draft them both, if you know there's going to be another starting caliber catcher on waivers.
I think part of the issue with it is Tom Murphy has a little bit of hype. He went for $4 in our recent Roto auction.
Yeah, that was me, and that was kind of a bad pick.
Somebody else would have paid $4.
I think it was worse than $3 Neftali Feliz.
No, it wasn't.
But to do this, I had Walters for $1. You would have had to spend $6. It doesn't seem like the upside.
All right,
no.
All right, but what? I mean, the scenario that Tom Murphy just becomes their starting catcher at some point midway through the season, he'd be worth it alone.
No, I don't think Tom Murphy's going to produce like two catcher's positions if he's a starter.
Well, you drop Tony Walters and you pick someone else up.
That's pretty tough to do in a two-catcher league, though.
All right. Okay, so forget that. Next week, by the way, is Sleepers Week. This week is Bold Predictions Week, and we've got a few of them. But next week is sleepers week, so we'll talk about ours, but we also want to hear yours. So email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com, and put sleepers in the subject line. And let us know what you think. We'll read a few on every show. Also, this is cool. We did this last year. We got, I don't know, about 715 people to join. I want to get to 1,000 this year. Lofty goal, lofty expectation. But this is your first chance to get into the podcast league. We are going to do another March Madness bracket challenge on CBSSports.com. We're going to open it up to all of you. We want you all to compete against us. And I haven't looked at the schedule yet, so I don't know. Let's just say, hypothetically, whoever is leading the bracket challenge going into the Sweet 16 would get a spot in the podcast league. Obviously, we can't do whoever wins the full pool because that will end by the time the baseball season starts. So we'll figure out the cutoff date. But join. I'll be tweeting it. I'll be talking about it on the air. But please join us, and it'll be free, and we'll just see who wins. It'll be fun. All right.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Scott's into it.
If your college basketball knowledge translates to baseball knowledge, you're in really good shape.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So we know about Azer trades. We know about the one I made. I talked about it on Tuesday's show. Andrew Fiorentino had Chris Carter as his first baseman. I offered him Carlos Santana and Andrew Benintendi for Manny Machado and Marcell Ozuna. If the trade was rejected, I was ridiculed on the air. This was an Azer trade. I got a trade offer in the same league from Andrew Fiorentino. He offered me his Nick Castellanos and Marcell Ozuna for Chris Bryant with the comment, "Hey, nice podcast you've got there."
I like it.
So yes. I guess I'm busted. I didn't know that
Spiteful.
Andrew was a listener.
I mean, you're putting people on blast, Adam.
Well, that was funny. I thought that was great, but I didn't know Andrew listened. I'm glad he does, and sorry about that. Now I'm embarrassed. Bold predictions from the listeners. This is from, am I pronouncing this right, Tony Bagadonuts?
Bag of Donuts.
I know. Tony Bag of Donuts from New Bedford, Mass. Dear Everett, Delmer, and Pete.
Is that Oh Brother, Where Art
it
Thou?
Is.
Was George Clooney's character's name Everett?
Yeah, that is Oh Brother, Where Art Thou. Good for
that's
you.
That's my son's name. I didn't even make that connection before.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
I would like to name my son after a character from a Coen Brothers movie.
Jose Peraza becomes this year's Jonathan Villar with a few less homers but a better batting average. Jose Peraza, 302 batting average, 7 home runs, 58 steals, 105 runs, 86 RBIs.
The run totals are way too high. But other than that, I don't hate it at all.
Based on the auctions that we've been doing and the results of those, I don't think this is really considered a bold prediction. I think people really, really like him right now.
He went for what, $5?
He went for 15 in the Roto one.
In the Roto one, yeah. He has one of the biggest gaps between, let's see, his Roto head-to-head ADP on our site. He's going in round, assuming a 12-team league, he's going in, oh man, I can't find it. Oh, round 19 on average in points leagues and round 11 on average in Roto. And I assume Roto's going up even faster than head-to-head. So yeah, that's a pretty big gap.
Yeah, this is Jose Peraza we're talking about. Shortstop and got some job security now. We were worried about the Brandon Phillips thing. But even if Peraza struggles for the Reds, you figure they'll give him some time, right? I mean, he's not going to have a short leash. They're committed to him.
I think so, but there is, like, as long as Zach Cozart's on the team, they have another option if he's really, really struggling. They can always give Dilson Herrera a shot.
All right, Peraza is going to be 23 years old in April. He hit .324 in 72 games last year.
Yeah, he's
seven
such a
walks,
good contact
though.
Hitter and so speedy. Like, I feel like his floor is high. I mean, he has no power, which also limits his ceiling, but I feel like he's pretty safe.
Oh my gosh. They couldn't possibly have him and Billy Hamilton at the top of the order, could they? That's like so
little. I think
so
they'd probably
little.
Like for somebody to be on base when Joey Votto comes up.
Wow.
So that's maybe a bad idea.
Come Just on. Move him over with a walk?
All right.
They'll probably get a bat 1 and 2, right?
I guess they might.
Yeah. Not a lot of pop at the top of the order, let's just say that. By the way, I tried to watch Oh Brother, Where Art Thou a few months ago. it was dreadful. I could not get through.
It's a great movie. Do you like any Coen Brothers movies?
Give me another one.
Fargo, The Big Lebowski.
Yes. No Country for Old Men. Amazing. Love that movie. One of my favorites.
Yeah,
that's their best one.
That's like the least Coen Brothers-y Coen Brothers movie.
Well, that's why it's great. But I like Fargo, but I do not like The Big Lebowski.
Those two are really the only ones I like, No Country for Old Men and Fargo. I mean, this one's okay. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou is probably my third favorite, but it's not like one I could watch over and over again.
They've got pretty consistent bangers up and down the filmography.
Okay. All right, let's go to the next bold predictions from Paul. Dear Getty, Neil, and Alex, continuing things I don't like, that would be Rush. Charlie Blackman will become the latest... Charlie Blackman will become the latest to join MLB's 30-30 club with a 310 average to help lead the Rockies to an NL wildcard spot, and Charlie Blackman wins NL MVP with 310, 30-30.
So you're saying he'll be in the limelight?
Is that a Rush song?
That is a Rush song.
Vomit.
I see him getting back to 30 steals this year. 29 home runs last year was such a surprise that I have a hard time believing he's going to one-up it, but it's clearly within the realm of possibility.
Even in the new environment?
Even in the new world.
I think one thing I'm not sure we keep in mind enough is that home runs and stolen bases for these power speed guys, there tends to be a give and take with them. You know, we saw with like Christian Yelich last season. The more power you hit for, the fewer stolen base opportunities you're going to have. Not just home runs, but also, you know, you hit for doubles, guys are much less likely to try to steal third.
He has stated he wants to run more this year, though. So that's encouraging. Even though, obviously, if you're hitting the ball out of the park, that's one less opportunity for you to steal a base.
I would expect more than 17 steals, but I would guess he gets to like 55 home runs and steals.
Yeah.
And what the distribution is...
I'm buying it, Paul. I'll take the 30-30. I'll take the 310. I'll take the wild card spot.
Not the MVP.
I'm not sure about the MVP.
No Rocky will ever win MVP.
I'm not sure if I believe that.
Rocky already has won MVP.
When?
Larry Walker.
Oh, yeah. Again.
That was so...
is what I meant.
Now your Coen Brothers love just lost all credibility. By the way, not only did Charlie Blackman say he wants to steal more, but Bud Black says that Blackman was playing through an injury last year, which I think we knew about. I think it was like a recurring leg injury. So, I think we can be optimistic. In 2015, he stole, what, like 43 bases in 2015. So, yeah, let's get some more steals there. And finally, from Chris, Matt Shoemaker, a top 30 pitcher this year. And I just want to say this real quick. Obviously, I was really angry about the Neftali Feliz thing in the auction. I was even angrier that nobody bid on Matt Shoemaker. I had, like, I don't know, the seventh or so pick of the reserve draft, and Matt Shoemaker was number one in my queue, and the guy before me, who drafted before me, took him, and I was so mad. I said, don't take Shoemaker, don't take Shoemaker. He took him. I cursed. I was so mad. I really wanted him. Matt Shoemaker, top 30 starting pitcher. That's the bold prediction from Chris. What do you think?
I didn't realize we were allowing members of the podcast to submit bold predictions.
That sounds like Chris Towers submitted that, right? Chris is... You're all about Matt Shoemaker and the breakout. And I understand why. I mean, there was a stretch in the middle of the season where his swinging strike rate just took off. He was throwing his split finger like 50% of the time. And he was getting Kershaw-like swinging strike totals game by game. But what I keep bringing up is that July 3rd is really where it began. It seemed like the league caught up to that. His final 12 starts, he had a 3.59 ERA, only 6.6 strikeouts per nine innings during that 12-start stretch. So, I mean, the swinging strike rate totals were still pretty good game by game, but it wasn't that otherworldly level.
He had a 12% swinging strike rate.
But only 6.6 Ks per nine.
Yeah.
I'm going to sell this.
It's really, I think, almost totally dependent on can he get to 200 innings.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be an ace. The 3.59 ERA, he can be a top 30 pitcher with 200 innings and with a 3.30 or a 3.59 ERA.
His career best is 160 last year, and he's 30. So,
I mean, in fairness, last year he almost certainly would have gotten to 180, maybe 190, if not for getting hit in the head by a line
Can we
drive.
Take a step back for a minute? Because 200 innings, oh, I guess in points leagues, innings are so valuable. Is almost anybody who's good enough to get to 200 innings, and, you know, you don't necessarily have to have an awesome ERA or strikeout rate to get to 200 innings. You just have to have your manager's confidence to go 200 innings. Is anybody going to... Could anybody potentially creep into the top 30 in a points league just because of that?
Well, yeah. I would guess he'll be... I'm looking at him as someone that I would feel pretty confident starting regularly. And I guess the thing with, like, the from July 3rd on, you know, there's not, like, a barrier between June and July. So when we look at, like...
the league caught up to him. He started doing something different. It worked for a while. And then the league figured it out. Throwing his split finger over and over
again. I'm looking at the game log, though. Like, there's a lot of really good starts here. He got hammered a couple times. But there's a complete game shutout with 13 strikeouts. And then I'm guessing you're going... that was part of it or no?
That was his first start back after the All-Star break. He was really good in August.
And he had that 13 strikeout game and still only 6.6 strikeouts per nine.
Really?
I will just say get to 200 innings, anybody's going to be a top 30 pitcher. These guys didn't get to 200, but they all got to 197 and two-thirds. Ricky Nolasco, Matt Moore, Martin Perez, Adam Wainwright, Hisashi Iwakuma, Marcus Stroman. I don't think any of those guys were top 30 pitchers last year in points leagues, were they?
Let's move it.
Not sure.
Yeah, I don't know, but let's move it along. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Not all of them, that's for sure.
Let's move it along. It's time for Team Name Tuesday on a Thursday. Okay? From our listeners. This is from Matt. Bregman Turner Overdrive. Not sure if you get the reference. I'm Canadian.
Yes,
but not really that.
I like it.
I like it too.
Okay, good. This is from Cam. Weigh in over my head.
I like it.
That's
a pretty good one, except it's got pretty much an NL-only team because you're not going to draft him in a regular league.
Also came up with the ploof is in the pudding. No, like, you didn't. I came up with that like 3 or 4 years ago, Cam.
Yeah, that's a podcast classic.
I never heard you say that.
We were bringing that up like 18 straight shows when he first broke out for the Twins.
Mike in Brooklyn. I had Corey and Kyle Seager last year. Flock of Seegers. Love it.
Okay.
Love it.
All right. What if you drafted Logan Forsyth and Logan Morrison in a deep league and Yadier Molina, and you go with Logans and Molina?
No idea what that means.
I'm over my head, too.
It's a... Wasn't there a band, Loggins and something? Kenny Loggins and some other guy?
This is so bad.
All right, this is from Richard.
Miss Loggins and Messina. Come on, Angry Eyes.
Angry Eyes.
Exactly.
I see the magic. No. This is from Richard. Bets in show, because he'll be arguably the best in the show. Not bad. Bets in show.
Great movie.
From Josh. Oh, how about this one? This came in. I don't know if Josh sent this before or after Wednesday's show. Had a good one a few years ago at our CBS pool. Sipping on Gin Andrews.
Yeah, that's much better than Heath's. When did this come in? That is so much better.
It came in about 17 hours ago, so I don't know if he listened to it by then.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sipping on Gin Andrews is much better.
Dynasty League with Corey Seager. On my team, this one's from Dustin. This is our last one. Seager, I barely knew her.
Yeah.
No.
I'm fine with it. Injuries, news, and notes. An MRI on Scott Kazmir's hip was negative. He will not pitch for at least a week. So is he back in the, let's say, NL-only discussion?
Yeah.
Okay. Tampa Bay infielder Matt Duffy may not be ready for the start of the season due to a heel injury. And Theo Epstein was on SiriusXM, and he helped us fantasy baseballers out a lot. He said, so they asked him for some sleepers, and he said Brett Anderson is being overlooked. He's throwing the ball well. He might sneak up on people. Brett Anderson. He also said, I'll be done in a second. He also said, don't forget about Jason Hayward. Obviously, we're in on that. and he raved about prospect Eloy Jimenez. I think he said something like he's one of the best right-handed hitters he's seen in a long time. Eloy Jimenez. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would guess Eloy Jimenez next year is going to be like top five, maybe even pushing for the number one overall prospect spot, but he's too young to contribute this year.
Yeah.
And there would be nowhere for him to play even if there was.
Yeah.
Brett Anderson, though.
Yeah, that would indicate to me they're leaning that direction instead of Mike Montgomery, which right. is bad news.
Right.
That
yeah.
seems
still
more
helpful
relevant.
To know, but
yeah, that seems much more relevant for what it means for Mike Montgomery than what it means for Brett Anderson.
And that makes sense. I mean, we've not really ever seen Mike Montgomery be successful in a starting role.
It makes sense, except they turned down a $12 million option for Jason Hamill. It seemed like explicitly because they wanted Mike Montgomery to start, and I guess not.
Well, Brett Anderson is one of the most injury-prone pitchers in baseball. He threw 11 innings last year. He did throw 180 the year before, but that was after three straight years of throwing 44 and two-thirds or fewer innings. So,
and he's not at all a bat misser, right. even when healthy.
He's bad like whip. He's
ultra, ultra ground ball, which is can be useful, but only in a low-end sort of way.
Yeah, he's like maybe Chase Wins in a daily league kind of guy. Brett Anderson, yeah. not exciting for fantasy. All right, so it's time to talk about average draft position. I asked you guys for players who are going too early, players who are going too late. None of you told me who you're going to talk about, so this is all going to be a surprise to me. Scott didn't even do the assignment, so we'll see where we're at. Heath, give me two players who you think are being drafted too early, overdrafted right now.
Okay, I tried to choose guys that I don't normally say, so I crossed Jonathan Villar off the list. I'm not going to say Trey Turner, 11th overall, which is ridiculous. I'll go with Jose Abreu at 56th overall and Kenley Jansen at 49th. Not so much because I don't think Kenley should be one of the first closers taken, but because I don't think anybody should be taking a closer at the start of the fifth round.
Okay, yeah, fifth round, 12-team league. We always base it on a 12-team league. So Kenley Jansen, no disagreement there, right? That's way too early for Kenley Jansen.
I wouldn't take him there.
Okay. Jose Abreu in the sixth round, kind of interesting, right after Will Myers.
That's the fifth round, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Boy. Wow. That was bad.
One pick after Will Myers, like two rounds before Matt Carpenter and Chris Davis.
Oh, well, Matt Carpenter is one of the most underdrafted players.
70th? Well, he was on my list, but I guess I'll find somebody new now.
No, you can keep him. Although, this does give me time to read an email about Matt Carpenter from Adam, and then we'll come back to Jose Abreu. Let's just answer this real quick here. Adam from Chicago, are you as worried as I am about Matt Carpenter? He was bad after coming back from the oblique injury last year, and now he is hurt again. Where is Matt Carpenter on the worryometer, and should he be avoided on draft day? And it's not an oblique injury right now for Carpenter, but he's worried that if he doesn't rest right now, it could lead to an oblique injury. So it's not a bad question here. What do you think?
3.5. It will go up 0.5 every week that he's still injured.
Okay. Yep. I spent $27 on him yesterday in our head-to-head points auction, and I also drafted him in Tout Wars in the third round of a 15-team league where OBP counts instead of batting average. So I would say I'm not that worried, but it is worth noting. It does seem like right now there are a lot of hitters dealing with injuries kind of like this, right? And obviously they're not all going to be big problems in the long run.
Right.
I was actually reminded yesterday, Corey Seager missed 3 weeks of spring training with, I think, a back issue. And that was, you know, that was going into his rookie season, so he was kind of a wild card to begin with, and obviously that turned out fine.
Okay, that's a good point. Also, you know, a couple weeks ago, we could have been fretting over Adrian Beltre. He's fine. So, yeah, Carpenter, we're not nearly as concerned as you are, Adam. Now, back to Jose Abreu going in the fifth round. Why do you think he's going too early?
I don't know why people are taking him there, but I think he's probably more, for me, of a borderline number one first baseman.
First base scarcity would be a good reason to take him there,
except
right?
Except that you're taking him before Carpenter and Chris Davis. I think he should be more in the Hanley range, which I think Hanley's being overdrafted.
Well, I think one thing. I think one thing we tend to overlook with Abreu, we just think of him as this free swinging power hitter. I mean, he's a very reliable source of batting average. He has been. He hit what 290 something last year.
Yep.
293.
So I would guess, I'm not disagreeing. It's too high. I'd rather have Carpenter. All of that. I kind of understand it.
I would guess Abreu's numbers over the last three seasons compare very favorably to Freddie Freeman's.
Except they're getting worse every year. Freeman's got better.
One appears to be on the upside. One appears to be on the downside. But you know,
well, Freeman would have been another guy I would have said was being drafted too early if I wasn't trying to say new names.
But he's going 30 spots higher.
Well, I think there's a takeaway there, is that people understand first base scarcity, and they're taking some guy. I mean, they're taking Carpenter late, but they may not be playing Carpenter at first base. They're reaching a little bit on guys like Will Myers, Jose Abreu, Freddie Freeman.
If anything, I would say that people may be exaggerating first base scarcity.
It helps that Desmond is going to be first base eligible, hopefully as soon as week two. It helps.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, Abreu is the 10th first baseman off the board. But you've still got Carpenter, Davis, Carlos Santana. Carlos Santana's going like 60 picks after Abreu.
He's
the like
10th...
60 points of batting average, probably.
10th first baseman off the board?
Actually 11th on Fantasy Pros, but Buster Posey is in that mix, so I wasn't counting him.
Oh, okay. Oh, but Chris Bryant, see, Fantasy Pros counts
Chris
Bryant.
Okay, so 9th first baseman off the board.
Yeah, and they count Daniel Murphy, who you certainly may play there. All right, let me just say this about Abreu. After the All-Star break, I might not matter to you, but just going to say it anyway, 319, 384, 514, 898 OPS, 14 home runs in 73 games. Mean anything to you?
There was some correction that needed to happen with that first half. I remember at the time all the peripherals, it didn't add up. So
yeah.
It's good to see that correction happen, I guess.
The other thing is, like, is he getting traded or is everyone around him getting traded?
There's only like one guy left around him.
I would guess there's a decent chance Melky gets traded, who's a good source of his RBI opportunities. I would think there's a decent chance Frazier gets traded, who's his only protection.
Okay.
That's it.
Chris Towers, thank you for completing the homework assignment. Give me two players who are going too early in Fantasy Pros.
I will go with two players, and Fantasy Pros actually has this really neat tool where if you click on a player, it tells you how many experts have them ranked higher or lower than their ADP. Trevor Story is 34th, I believe, right now. We all love Trevor Story, but that seems way too high. And 65% of the experts in Fantasy Pros tool think Trevor Story will be worse than his ADP. I think that's a good barometer.
Interesting. Okay, and is there another one that you want to talk about?
Kyle Schwarber, I think, still is 67th overall. Maybe there's some... like, hope that he'll get catcher eligibility.
Well,
there.
I think that's the problem, is he is catcher eligibility on Yahoo.
Yeah. But so even at CBS and ESPN, he's 70 and 77. I still think that's a little too high.
I think I'm okay with him in the 70s.
I'm so conflicted on Schwarber.
Well, it's just that there are some similar players who are going a lot later than him. If he gets catcher eligible, I think that's a fine pick because he can be a difference maker at catcher. You have to project a lot of elite talent on him to say he's that at outfield, especially for someone who we know in a best case scenario plays 140 games.
Well, that's the thing. So this is why I'm conflicted on Schwarber. When they came out and said, when Madden said I wanted to play 140 games, I got kind of too excited because I didn't really think of that as like that's his ceiling and he might not actually play 140 games. But I just know how much the Cubs value him. Last year when they were in on the Aroldis Chapman talks, this Kyle Schwarber was the guy that was completely untouchable. Yankees wanted him and it just was not happening. And then they put him in the World Series after he hadn't played all season. And we've seen what he can do and I think it's pretty impressive. You know,
put him in like at a critical lineup spot too, and they kept him in whenever they brought in Andrew Miller. Yeah, I agree that the way they behave with Schwarber suggests he's their third most valuable hitter to them.
I guess my question is, if he hits 250, scores 100 runs, hits 30 home runs, and drives in 90, is he worth where he's being drafted?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Basically, he played 69 games in his rookie year, which is half of 140, almost exactly. That would just be doubling his rookie stats.
Sure.
Well, yeah, 32 home runs, that would be 86 RBIs.
104 runs.
104 runs, okay. And the other thing I want to say about Schwarber is that I do think he will get catcher eligible. Heath and I think we've talked about this a lot. It's a pinch hit appearance, and they move him around, a double switch at some point. They move him to catcher in the eighth inning. He needs only five of those. I don't know when it'll happen. It could happen in August, and at that point, you might have the best catcher in fantasy for your stretch run. Or it might be too late. Who knows?
That's fair, but I have trouble seeing them using him as a defensive replacement. Like, if they need someone to go in the eighth inning, it's not going to be Kyle Schwarber.
Well, I think the advantage is I think it's probably more of a sixth or seventh inning type thing where you do a double switch with a pitcher, and then you want to have a catcher on the bench. Mm-hmm. Managers don't like being in a situation with 2 to 3 innings to play and not having a catcher on the bench.
Right. So let's say, their backup catcher this year is who?
Miguel Montero.
So Montero's in there. They want to pinch hit for him late in the game. They keep Contreras on the bench. They move Schwarber to catcher. I don't know. Some random thing could happen, or he just starts. I think by the All-Star break, he's there five times. That's my guess.
Do we think this is relevant? In 2015, he started 59 games. He left 18 of them early. Isn't he just as likely to be removed for a defensive replacement in the eighth inning as anything else?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good point. Absolutely.
I don't know that it'll necessarily cost him that many at-bats.
In fact, it may even happen earlier than the eighth inning. That's one thing they were talking about with Javier Baez and fretting that they don't have a job for him. Well, you know, if they have a lead in the fifth or sixth inning, they talked about maybe sending Zobrist out to left and bringing Baez in. I think we'll see some of that, too.
It just feels like Schwarber has a lot of upside priced in without much downside priced in.
But we just agreed that if he just does what he did as a rookie.
Assuming his per-game numbers were sustainable in his 59 starts, yes.
I don't see why they wouldn't be. I mean, like, sure.
Well, most guys don't drive in and score 190 runs.
But I was doing that based on a 69-game pace. So I was baking in.
Yeah, but it was actually only 59 starts.
Right, so I'm baking in 10 games of
bench. But what you're saying is his rookie season pace, where he was on pace for 190 combined RBI and runs in 120 games? Like, that's an unsustainable pace.
Right. He doesn't have to sustain that pace. He has to do it in 140 games.
Is anybody arguing that Schwarber isn't going too early?
I don't know that he is.
When's he going?
CBS.
He's going in the 70s?
On CBS, on average.
Seventh round.
Yeah, seventh round in points, sixth round in roto. And I think that's too early, that you're still getting... You're still talking about the nucleus of your team at that point for what may only be a part-time player at a deep position.
Yeah, all right, this is it for me. It's this. Do you think Kyle Schwarber will be catcher eligible by the All-Star break? I just kind of feel like by some circumstance it will happen, but it's based on no evidence. What do you guys think?
Yes.
No, I think it's unlikely.
All right. Well, that's gonna be the difference, I think, in a lot of people's approach to Kyle Schwarber. Scott, you've had some time to do your homework. Who's going too early? Two players.
He's been copying other people's work.
Well, I did have a chance to look into ADP for my Sleepers Breakouts of Bust 2.0, which should be up before the end of the week. This is CBS ADP, so a little different from Fantasy Pros. Eduardo Nunez is going in the eighth round on average in points leagues and the ninth round on average in roto. I had been resisting calling him a bust just because I thought his skill set was so critical at that stage of the draft that, like, I may be forced to draft him. And you really had no choice but to hope for the best in that scenario, getting steals if you didn't get enough steals early. But like, it's just not worth it. It's not worth it. You can get a Keon Broxton late. You can get Jerod Dyson late, who looks like he's going to play every day. Eduardo Nunez hit 240-ish with a 650-ish OPS in the second half last year. They have...
and started losing playing time, right?
I don't know about that, but I do think that's an issue going into this year because, and I am not going to say this name correctly, but they brought in a guy from Korea, Jae-gyun Hwang.
I like it.
H-W-A-N-G. Who...
Jae-gyun Hwang.
Had Jung-ho Gong-ish production in Korea, made a lot more contact than like Byung-ho Park did. It's a couple home runs already this spring. I could see him forcing Nunez into a utility role, and then Nunez isn't even getting anywhere close to 30, 40 steals.
So on CBS, it looks like he's going one pick ahead of Javier Baez.
Also too high, yeah.
And four picks ahead of Jose Peraza.
Peraza should be the top one of those three easily.
I don't know if I believe that easily. We're hoping Peraza does what Nunez did last year.
Well, Peraza won't do what Nunez did last year because he can't hit 16 home runs. But I think Nunez only hit like 270-ish, right? Overall?
288.
288? Okay. Yeah, I mean...
270
but I,
after
but I think
trade.
It's like, I can bank on it with Peraza, I feel like.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, Scott's not expecting Peraza to do what Nunez did last year, but he's also not expecting Nunez to do what Nunez did last
right.
year. All right, Scott, give me one more guy. So that was Eduardo Nunez going too early. Who else going too early?
I mean, the obvious one is probably Javier Baez. Even on our site, it's 18th on average in points leagues, 15th in Roto, but I feel like we've brought that up a lot. I want to
148th overall at Fantasy Pros, too.
Even higher?
148th at Fantasy Pros yeah. overall. That's way too high.
That's like 13th round.
Yeah.
And we just mentioned he's not going to have a job.
I never
himself.
See him go that high, though.
No. I know. In our leagues, he never does. And like, the thing is, like, he has a lot of upside, but he hasn't even really had the kind of production that would merit that selection, even if he was playing every day. I don't want to go, because that's not even the guy I wanted
I
to pick.
I think the okay? benefit for Baez, though, is, like, there's one of eight different players that gets hurt. He's a starter. He that's doesn't true. Need an injury to any one individual. He needs an injury to one starter that's not a catcher.
But that's true. But then there's the other level of, is he even going to produce enough when that happens?
Right.
He'll be okay.
Even
at,
a catcher
at worst,
getting hurt could get him in the field.
That's true.
Hisashi Iwakuma, for some reason on our site, he is going in points league specifically. He is going ahead of Julio Urias, Dylan Bundy, Jeff Samardzija, Matt Moore.
Wow.
He's going in like round 11.
Whoa.
Points league. And even in our auction yesterday, he went for like $4 at a part in the auction where like every pitcher was going for one or two, basically. Like, I don't understand what exactly the hope is for Iwakuma. He's always been good control guy, pitches deep into games, and that's valuable in points leagues, but took a big step back last year, both in terms of velocity and strikeout rate, and it translated to an ERA over four. He's not much of a bat misser. He's 35 years old. Like he's on the way.
He had a shoulder injury, right?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I do think he's on the decline, clearly.
Iwakuma, 11th round.
Hang up for.
That's crazy.
Yeah, remember the Dodgers backed out of their contract with him after he failed the physical.
Oh, right. Right. Good call, Chris. All right, let's do players who are being drafted too late. Good values that we actually like. Let's go back to Heath. Heath, you're two.
I'm going to skip Matt Carpenter. I'm going to go with Cole Hamels, who is going 79th behind Kyle Hendricks, behind Carlos Martinez. I think he should be drafted ahead of both of those guys. In our auction yesterday, he went for like $8 less than Yu Darvish, which I thought was really weird. And then I had to remove Jose Bautista from my Busts 1.0. My second version, I can't put Jose Bautista in there because he's actually a really good value being drafted right around 100th overall.
Well, I can't believe that every time I see it. Now in our drafts, I would say Bautista's more like 6th round in a 12-team league. When are you comfortable taking Jose Bautista?
6th is great.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. All right, Chris, two players for you.
I will throw out Jock Peterson, who I've talked about enough this offseason. I think the counting numbers will improve. I think he can drive in and score 160 runs combined this season. And still going 192nd overall, just too low.
Jock Peterson was the 47th best outfielder in points, 44th in Roto. That was with the 54th most plate appearances among Major League Baseball outfielders. So he didn't exactly underperform on a per plate appearance basis. And the word is Peterson's going to play every day. The problem that I have with him is that he's been so bad against lefties. Will he get better against lefties? He's batted 216 and 125 against lefties. Now, there's only 64 at-bats last year with that 125. And if he does poorly again, are they going to start platooning Peterson again?
I think those are both. I think that is a fair criticism and a fair thing to be concerned about. But I would also point out, he doesn't seem to get enough credit for the fact that he was an elite prospect. Baseball America's number 8 prospect going into the 2015 season. We tend to assume those guys will improve those skills, right?
Well, the Dodgers certainly seem high on Peterson. So yeah. For the price you're getting him, I doubt there are players that have much more upside than Jock Peterson that late in the draft.
I'm totally with Chris on this. I'm adding Jock Peterson to Breakouts 2.0. And part of that is because now the Dodgers are saying he'll play every day.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, I've brought up the comparison before, but 125 spots after Kyle Schwarber, I don't think the pedigree is that much better with Schwarber. I don't think the playing time outlook is that much better. We're still not sure if Kyle Schwarber can hit lefties either. I think it's a really nice value for a guy with a ton of upside.
Okay, who else is going too early, Chris Towers?
Too late.
Too late, Chris Towers.
I think Andrew McCutchen at number 61 overall is going too late, and it's even worse in CBS. 68th overall in, or no, hold on.
Yeah, 68.
55th overall in CBS, sorry. 68th over, 61st overall at Fantasy Pros right now. I just think that's an overreaction to the one bad season Andrew McCutchen has ever had. And, like, it wasn't even that bad of a season. Like, if Andrew McCutchen goes out...
It was pretty bad.
If he goes out and scores 81 runs, drives in 79, hits 24 home runs, look, he's not going to... That's not great value for your 61st overall pick, but it's fine.
This is what you need to know.
Floor for Andrew McCutchen? Chris, 61 overall is just ridiculous.
This is what you need to know about Andrew McCutchen last year. Just last year, was it good, was it bad? Andrew McCutchen was the number 28 outfielder in points and number 31 in Roto. If you play every day and you are 28th in points and 31st in Roto, that's pretty, like, that's, I don't know if I should use the word bad, but it's pretty discouraging. So, 153 games. He just didn't do enough.
Right. Do we think that he just lost it at 30?
He has been losing it. He's gotten
elite,
worse.
Right, but
year
he
after
was still
year.
An elite player in 2015.
He was the sixth best outfielder in 2015 in points. McCutchen was 12th in Roto. So it was a pretty sharp drop from one year to the next. But
it might just be real.
I think
it also might be that his BABIP dropped 40 points.
I don't think I'm alone in the Gregory Polanco is better than Andrew McCutchen thing. I feel like people are going to start valuing it that way as we get closer to drafts. Are you guys there yet, or you still have McCutchen ahead of Polanco?
Still have him ahead.
I still have him ahead by a pretty decent margin.
But you may be right. I think one's definitely on the upswing, one's definitely, well, possibly on the downswing.
I think McCutchen's ADP is a really good place to take Polanco, but McCutchen should go about two rounds before that.
Oh my gosh! Oh my god! Oh, all right, can we make a bet out of this or something? Like,
yes, we will definitely make a bet out of this.
Good, 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 good. Okay, Scott. Sorry, I've been delaying getting to you. Go for it.
I'll keep it quick. Aledmys Diaz is going in the 8th round on average in both formats. He was better in terms of head-to-head points per game than Corey Seager last year, who's, you know, arguably a first-rounder. Low strikeout rate, safe batting average choice with some pop. I think he's the guy I like drafting most often as my number one shortstop because of the value there. And then a guy I don't think we've mentioned once on the podcast.
Ooh.
Ever.
Chris Archer gets a lot of credit for bouncing back the final couple months. He had an established baseline. He struggled early, bounced back late, and we give him credit for it.
We don't give Francisco Liriano credit for doing this.
Oh, that was the guy. Remember, I teased at the beginning of the year. I said at the beginning of the show, I said one of our listeners suggests a starting pitcher that we have completely overlooked, and that listener is I'll get
his name. That's the guy.
Yes, it's from Bill. John Gibbons, he said, I recently heard an interview with John Gibbons where he thinks Francisco Liriano is the best fifth pitcher in baseball. Do you all agree? Is Liriano worth a late-round flyer?
He may be. I mean, we consistently were drafting him as a top 30, maybe even top 25 pitcher prior to last year when things got totally off for him in Pittsburgh. But then he moved to Toronto midseason. 10 appearances, 8 of them starts, 2.92 ERA, 1.18 WHIP, 9.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. That's the good Liriano again. Yeah. I read yesterday Pete Walker, the Blue Jays pitching coach, helped him regain his release point. He had lost it early in the year.
And we know that
the
like
stuff was still great.
Pitchers are terrible in Pittsburgh, you know. They always have
that's the irony is that we imbue Pittsburgh with this magic power to fix every pitcher. And so it's weird when a pitcher goes wrong there.
Yeah. Well, he originally went right.
Yeah. Right.
But then I guess maybe Ray Searage had his hands full with other pitchers.
I just like saying he's the best fifth starter in baseball is a really nice thing to say about the depth of your pitching staff. It's not a huge compliment for Francisco Liriano.
I'm guessing he's really more like their second or third, though. He may open as their fifth, but he'll actually be their second or third best pitcher.
I mean, Heath, you think he's better than J-Happ and Marco Estrada, right?
I don't know if he is anymore.
Okay.
I think he... Peak Francisco Liriano was better than what they did last year.
The stuff was still great. I mean, even with his struggles in Pittsburgh, the strikeout rate didn't really change that much.
Hoping he throws 180 innings. We're hoping he doesn't walk 4.5 batters per 9 innings. I just, like, his margin for error has always been razor thin.
Yeah, because he doesn't throw pitches in the strike zone. He's one of the pitchers who throws, I would imagine before last season, he was consistently outside of the strike zone more often than any pitcher.
Right.
But he did start to regain some of the swing and miss in Toronto as well.
Yeah,
which
so
is going to be the key for him.
Liriano is, you're unlikely to get a WHIP better than 1.2. It was 1.18 with Toronto. That's pretty good because in 3 seasons with Pittsburgh, he averaged 1.24, and it was usually low.
And to be clear, this is a guy you could take with your very last pick.
Yeah.
He didn't even go in the head-to-head auction yesterday. He wasn't even taken.
Yeah, so I'm willing to take a shot on him, but it's after like Dylan Bundy and
379th
like
overall at Fantasy Pros right now.
All right, so good. I'm glad you mentioned him. We'll get to the emails in just a second at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. There are a couple of articles that I wanted to talk about today. We're not going to have time. We may maybe tomorrow, maybe not at all, but you can read them. Scott talked about 8 aces who failed us last year. Chris Archer, Zach Greinke, Garrett Cole, Felix Hernandez, Sonny Gray, Adam Wainwright, and Jordan Zimmermann, and their chances of bouncing back this year. Heath talked about late round picks you can get for batting average. Good reads, and I recommend them, and maybe tomorrow we'll chat about them. After this, we'll do emails, but let's talk about Scott White's Tout Wars team. An absolute crime that this is the first year that Scott White is doing Tout Wars. I am very happy for you, and I look forward to you wrecking the competition and representing CBS very well. Now, 15-team 5x5 league on base percentage instead of batting average, and it was an auction?
It was a draft.
Oh, it was a draft. Okay.
There are most of the Tout Wars leagues, I think there's 4 or 5 in all, are auctions. Those will be later in March.
Okay.
This is the one draft league.
So, yeah. How'd it go?
I think it went really well, actually. I feel this might be the team I feel the best about going into the season. It helped that we do so much mock drafting. I got a sense of who the industry is down on relative to me. So I was able to hold out even longer than I normally do for players like Rick Porcello, who I think I got in round 8 or 9.
Ooh,
of a 15-team league.
15 teams, wow.
Gene Segura, who I got in round 6 of a 15-team league.
Wow, that's awesome.
That was actually a clever maneuver on my part, because I like Gene Segura more than D. Gordon,
But in round five, I decided to take D. Gordon first, crossing my fingers, knowing how the industry feels about Segura, that he'd get back to me in round six, and he did. So got a little greedy there, and it paid off. Do you want me to just read over my team?
Yeah, sure. You know what? I'll do it. I'll do it for you. Two catcher league. You have Tony Walters and Chris Iannetta.
You obviously punted there.
this team's getting ready to get a lot better after that.
This infield is spectacular in a 12-team league, but a 15-team 5x5 infield, and again, OBP, so that makes Carpenter even better. Matt Carpenter, D. Gordon, Manny Machado, Gene Segura, Todd Frazier at corner infield, Aledmys Diaz at middle infield. Wow, wow, wee, wah. Pretty good.
That's the Scott White method of drafting this year, is build an elite defense and then just
elite defense
or infield or whatever, but then just kind of cover your nose when you read the outfield.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it's not intentional. I feel like a lot of people have this, like, get comfortable with the idea, oh, there's a lot of infield depth. And, like, I made it so there wasn't. I mean, I have three shortstops in a 12-team league. I drafted three of the best shortstops in Manny Machado, Gene Segura, and Aledmys Diaz. So there's a lot of people hurting shortstop.
I will say that I've questioned numerous times throughout our drafts whether I just have infielders too low in my rankings and outfielders too high. And after seeing this, I'm starting to think maybe it's more that it's just you're taking all the infielders in our drafts and leaving all the outfielders.
It certainly was the case here.
All right, so again, the infield is Carpenter, Gordon, Machado, Segura, Todd Frazier, Aledmys Diaz.
I want to point out also, too, between Gordon, Segura, and, well, you'll mention my top outfielder here in a second, A.J. Pollock, very speed-heavy. Stolen bases is something I didn't want to have to worry about. I took care of it early between Gordon, Segura, and Pollock. Mm-hmm. No worries in that category.
You have Pollock, you have Michael Brantley, Jay Bruce, Yasiel Puig, and the aforementioned Mitch Haniger. Pollock, Brantley, Jay Bruce, Puig, Haniger, and your utility is Shin-Soo Choo.
My favorite thing is that Scott looks at his outfield and says, there's a lot of question marks there. I need to get somebody in utility that can also play outfield, so I'm going to take another question mark in Shin-Soo Choo.
Well, that's the thing, like, they're obviously at the late stages of the draft, anybody who you take is going to be a question mark. AJ Pollock, Jay Bruce, I feel like pretty good idea what they're going to provide for me. Bruce makes up for some of the power I was lacking on my infield. He and Todd Frazier and Manny Machado, of course, are my clear power hitters. But considering how much I passed up outfield, like I kind of took the high-low strategy Adam and I have talked about in the outfield. Pollock was the high guy. Actually reached a little for him in the second round, in part because the obvious choice was Max Scherzer and I didn't want to go there, and in part because I worried about filling steals early. But I feel like I took advantage of some of the upside you can find late in the outfield, because Brantley, Bruce, Puig, Haniger, Chu, they were all obviously late round picks. I feel like for passing up outfield as much as I did, my fourth and fifth outfielders are probably among the better ones in the league. And there's enough upside between these group that even accounting for the fact some of them aren't going to pan out, maybe it's Brantley who never gets back, maybe it's Puig who continues to give the Dodgers reason to take him out of the lineup. I have, between those and my two bench options, Michael Conforto and Aaron Judge, I gave myself a lot of chance to land five quality outfielders between those eight.
Absolutely. And it's a 15-team league. So even if you didn't have five outfielders that were really good, or good even, I'm sure you wouldn't be alone in that. I think you did a great job with the hitters. And as you mentioned, you have Conforto, Judge on your bench. You also have Dan Vogelbach and Joe Panik on your bench. And we'll get to the pitchers now. Your pitchers are Verlander, Porcello, Rich Hill, Sean Manaea, Aaron Nola. Sean Manaea, Aaron Nola, Scott Bradley drinks a cold. See, I like it.
It works.
Yep. Jordan Zimmermann, Brandon Finnegan, and Jim Johnson and Brandon Kinsler. So I don't know that you're going to do so well in saves, but Verlander, Porcello, Rich Hill, Sean Manaea, Aaron Nola, Jordan Zimmermann, Brandon Finnegan, Jim Johnson, Brandon Kinsler, And on your bench, you have Jason Hamill and renowned cheater Carter Capps. So I think you did a great job, Scott. I really do.
Yeah, thank you. I think I did. I actually, some commenters on Twitter, they identified my outfield with as a weakness, which of course, I mean, I only drafted one really high-end outfielder. I actually feel good about the pitching staff, though. Some didn't like it. I feel like I gave myself a pretty high ERA and WHIP floor. There's some maybe innings concerns and some strikeout concerns that would go along with that. But I feel like percentage-wise, my pitchers are all going to be pretty good. Porcello maybe have an ERA on the high side if he regresses too much, but obviously there's a lot of wins to be had there. And I just don't have those clear like ERA and WHIP drains that are going to be parts of other people's pitching staffs. Jim Johnson and Kinsler, obviously I didn't want to spend on closer. I feel like among the quote-unquote bad closers, those are two that don't have like a clear alternative for their team to go with. I feel like they have a pretty good safety net. And I got Carter Capps just in case he takes over for Mauer. So I feel like in a 15-team league, two closers will keep you in the middle of the pack in saves. And if you get a third, then great.
Awesome. Good luck. There's no chance in a 15-team league you're not going to have some weaknesses unless you're drafting with very inexperienced people or very drunk people, I'd say, maybe. But 15-team league, those are tough. Those are tough. And I think you did a really good job. So go get them. All right. Emails now. Fantasybaseball@CBSI.com. Running out of time, so we'll go through this, if we can, a little quickly here. Bill. Oh, no, we already read Bill's. That was about Liriano. Blake in Santa Barbara. Can you talk about how to stream starting pitchers well? I'm in a roto league where I can make daily lineup changes. Why not, as a fourth or fifth starter, just pick up any kind of sort of okay pitcher who's scheduled to face a team like the Phillies? Like a Bartolo Colon or a Gio Gonzalez or a Ricky Nolasco. How do you guys feel about that strategy for streaming pitchers?
I think it works. It clearly works a lot better in a points league than it does in a roto league, because the danger you have with that is mediocre pitchers get rocked by bad offenses all the time, and it can totally screw up your ratios.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, that's what I would say. It's a much more viable option in a points league.
Right. Okay. Next email is from Dan in Dubuque, Iowa. Yeah.
He just gave you two different pronunciations. He doesn't know.
Are there enough at-bats to go around between McCann, Beltran, and Gattis for Gattis to be rated as the fourth best catcher? I can get Gattis reliably in the 12th round. I'm nervous about the combination of health and at-bats.
I'm worried about the combination of health and at-bats, too. I also have him on three teams already that I'm playing out, which is by far the most of any catcher. I could be wrong about this. I don't know how much of a threat McCann's going to be. He was on my bust list before. I'm taking him off now because his ADP is at like 170, so people aren't drafting him like I was afraid they might. But I think he's shown signs of losing it over the last few years, and Yankee Stadium kind of saved him. I expect Gattis to get the lion's share.
I don't worry so much about McCann, but I think the Astros' two most unsettled positions are left field, where they have Aoki, and first base, where they have Gurriel. And Beltran can play left field. McCann can play first base. I imagine they will on some days. And that'll allow Gattis into the lineup, either a DH or a catcher. Playing time's always been a concern for Gattis. And last year was the first time I think he exceeded 500 bats. I wouldn't predict him to exceed 500 at bats again, but the 4 to 450 range, I mean, as often as most catchers sit, I don't think that's really so different.
Okay. Well, 12th round seems really good. I thought he was going to go more like toward the 9th round, Evan Gattis.
Yes. I feel like it's falling.
Gattis is now going in the 10th, 11th round, 126th overall. So, yeah, there's a very good chance that McCann gets hurt or Beltran gets hurt, and we're not really as worried about the playing time. And he might be the best hitter of the three of them, although I still feel like Beltran is
I think
overlooked.
Beltran's probably the best hitter, but Beltran can't catch.
No, I don't think he can catch, not at this point. There's an email from Isaac. Isaac is a frequent emailer and dedicated listener, and it's not clear if he hates us or not. I'm not sure. he just disagrees with us all the time, but I don't care as long as you're listening. Isaac said, and his emails are so frank. Once again, spend about $150 on pitching in a roto auction. Dominate pitching categories. Spend about $150 on hitters. Crapshoot.
That's completely wrong and ridiculous.
Well, well
and
now
I'm
he
offended,
hates
frankly.
Us. How,
how's
now
that
now
for Frank?
Us. Sorry, Isaac. Go ahead.
Chris what? Was Frank right back.
His name's Isaac. I'm Chris.
I know, but he said he was...
Not Frank.
Frank.
There's no Frank.
He was being Frank.
I'm making a joke, Scott.
Okay.
Chris Isaac. That's what I came away with there.
What a wicked game.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it for today. We'll do a lot of emails tomorrow, I think. And, yeah, I do want to talk about those bounce-back pitchers, those late-round average guys. There's plenty to talk about as we get you set for the weekend. Some of you might be drafting already, so please feel free to email the show, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Heath, Scott, Chris, talk to you tomorrow.